I love watching you sing because your face gets all contorted and it's awesome. It's awesome. It makes me sing more. It's so great. I love it. Well, welcome this Sunday morning. This is so great. Combined services together. You had plenty of time this morning to get up, have your coffee, have breakfast, and even consider if you're coming or not, and you decided to come. So that is so great. We're so glad you're here this morning. Hopefully, I was noticing on this, a closer look at Christmas right here. Number three says, what was confusing to you this morning? I hope nothing's confusing to you this morning. I hope that is something you don't fill out going, well, I got a whole thesis I could write about this morning being confusing. So I hope that's not the case. I hope this morning you do go away challenged. I hope this morning you do go away feeling inspired. I hope this morning you go away knowing that God loves you and has a plan for your life, no matter what's going on in your life, that, there's always a next chapter. There's always something else to look at as we go through life here. I here at Arapahoe Road, I've had the sincere privilege of being the student pastor here this past summer. Excuse me, I swallowed some gum before I came up, which is a no-no. A no-no. Our moms tell us not to do that, and I'm 42. You think I'd, and I swallowed gum, so I got a little choky right here. So, I don't know what you'd call it, choky, gum choky, that's what I have, but which means my breath will be minty fresh for hours upon hours, because it's just going to stay right there, so, and I think moms also say it stays in your stomach, what, for 20 years, but it doesn't, so, I've had the honor and the privilege of being the student pastor here. Pastor Dave this past summer says, hey, we're looking for someone to fill in. Well, could you do that? When I'm not here, I am what's called a skit guy. I travel around with a buddy of mine. We go around all over the world, and we do skits. We do comedy for churches and for conferences, and we make videos. Maybe you've seen some of the videos here. If you're visiting, you're probably going, what is a skit guy? Well, yes, I ask myself that every day. I travel around, and I loved comedy since I was a kid. I loved skits in church when I gave my life to Jesus. That's what my youth minister gave me, was a bunch of skit books, and says, here, you know, use your powers for good instead of evil, Eddie. And because I was also the kid that would sit there and make fun of the youth pastor when he was speaking, you know, trying to pull attention away from him. So that's what I started doing. I started doing skits. He gave me a whole bunch of skit books when I was, you know, a teenager, and I thought they were all pretty cheesy, so I would just copy things from Saturday Night Live and try to make it Christian. Very hard to do. Very, very hard to do. Very hard to do. But that's how I grew up, and little by little, back then in the 80s, even in the 90s, there was no way you could go to churches and do skits, but over time, me and my buddy, that's what we've done. We make videos, and it's a lot of fun, and so when Dave said, hey, would you have any time this fall to fill in as interim as student pastor, and it was great, because on Wednesday nights, I was like, I can be there. I can do it, and I said, I could even do it through December, and so now I'm even doing it longer. I'm here, and I gotta say, I love the students here. I love what we're doing here at Arapahoe Road. If you have not checked us out student-wise, we meet every Wednesday night here. It's called Breakaway. We have middle school and high school, 6:15 and 7:30. We try to gear it toward both middle school and high school at those appropriate times. We're having a great, great time, and I have a feeling over the next 5 years, Arapahoe Road Student Ministry, it's going to do amazing things throughout this community. It will be a name that will be synonymous with change. It'll be a name that people go, oh yeah, it's that church over there with the weird old sign in front. That church, yeah, yeah. you know, that'll come up in the next meeting. Okay, let's talk about the sign. But I love Arapahoe Road, and I love these students, and I love getting to know all of you. And as we said, Pastor Dave is not here, and he asked if I would fill in this morning. I've known Dave for the past 20 years. Met him at First Woodway in Waco. That's where he grew up. And by the way, keep him in your prayers. Pastor Mike Toby, his pastor, and my boss, I worked there for a while too in my 20s. He passed away about a couple of days ago, and he had a brain tumor, and within 45 days, he got it, and he has now passed away. And so pray for Pastor Dave. The funeral will be this week, and I know he was a big light in Pastor Dave's life, and so keep him in your prayers. This morning, I wanted to, since New Year's is around the corner, can I just see by the way of hands, how many of you do the list? You take out and you do the list of things you want to change. Anybody do that? Okay, not a lot. Okay. Okay, so that's kind of not really going on anymore, okay? So you get the definition of insanity, doing the same thing over and over and over again, expecting different results, and you realize there's no need to do the list. All right, I get it. Well, I'm very driven, and I'm a big, role guy and, objective guy and goal guy, but I do the list, and I found that I'm kind of that sentimental type of guy, too. Like in high school, I had a journal, I think that's what they call it, a journal, so, or a diary. I call it a journal. Don't judge me. Okay, so, but here's my New Year's list from 1988. Can I just read this to you just real quick? All right, number 10, there's top 10. Number 10, get ripped. It's in quotes, get ripped, which I think was, then it says in parentheses, watch Rocky movies for inspiration. It didn't happen. I did watch the Rocky movies, though, yeah. Did you ever notice after a Rocky movie, you really do, like, I'm going to go work out, and you do it once. Okay, I gave my life to Christ my senior year, and so I put be nice to my mom. I really tried. Someone laughed. Okay, all right. Number 8, learn to play drums like Phil Collins. Didn't do that. Or guitar like Slash, didn't do that. Then I put memorize all of U2's with or without you. I did do that. And and if I were to sing it, my face would look like Josh. With or without you. Number 5, full disclosure, I was losing my hair at a very young age. And number 5, I put find a way to get into hair club for men. Very image-driven at the time. I did not get into that club. Number 4, invite Steve to church, which I did, and he's a believer. He lives in Tulsa, and he's a family, so yes. Number 3, read the Bible more, and then I put in parentheses, read the whole Bible in a year. I think if you were like me, you got stuck in Leviticus and just went, never mind. Okay. Number 2, ask out Lori Prism. Prism, P-R-I-S-M. I did ask out Lori, and we dated for a little while. It was more like a prison, but very, very unhealthy, very needy, very needy. Lori's not here, is she? No, okay. All right. Yeah. And number one was grow in God, grow in faith. And I think if we ever did do the list, which there was like 4 people, if we did do the list, that would be on the list was we want to grow in God, we want to mature our faith, we want to learn more about God. And I think it's interesting, and what a sign of the times that there aren't people doing the list. And I think we have done the list, and it did become insane to a point where why even do them? But it is a new year, and it is that time that we get to look at things and go, okay, what does this year look like? What needs to be added to my life? What needs to be taken away? More importantly, if you look at that number one thing, what does God want to show me this year? What do I need to do in order to get in step with God or to figure out what part of my life's calling is going to be? Because life isn't over until we pass away, until we die. We have our whole life, whole bunch of chapters to live. No matter if we're going through something right now or if we've just gotten out of something, God still has a plan for our life, no matter what age we're at. So we want to look at that this morning. And if you don't mind, I'm just going to say a little prayer. And if you can just be praying for me as well, that I hide myself behind the cross and that we share the bread of life this morning. So will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, thank you for your love. Thank you for your love that it's not based on where we live, how much money we make, what we do, who we hang out with, what our present circumstances are. But your love for us is solely based on the fact that we are your children, and may we find delight in that. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, for what you've done for us. In your name I pray. Amen. Amen. I want to look at John chapter 11 this morning. So if you have your Bibles, you can open to John chapter 11. There are some Bibles in the pews there. John chapter 11, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. If you are joining us this morning and Arapahoe Road isn't your home church, we just want to say welcome. If you come from college and you're with family, welcome. We are so glad you're here. Hopefully this morning there is a word for you that you can take away and you can carry throughout your life. If you're checking out God, you know, if you were drugged to church this morning and someone in your family said, "You are going, mister, you're going. I'm glad you're here. Hopefully you can hear about the creator of the universe this morning and you go away with maybe just a seed planted in your heart, your soul, and your mind for what God can do in your life. John chapter 11, I wanted to start out saying, I don't know what moves you. I don't know what those things that you ruminate about, that you think about, that you marinate on. I don't know what those things are. But if I could just be honest with you, this past year in 2012, it really has been this thing. I want more of Jesus, less of me. And that kind of sounds a little cliche, doesn't it? A little churchy, doesn't it? I want more of Jesus, less of me. Or it sounds like a really bad country song, you know, that Carrie Underwood could sing. But it's I want more of Jesus, less of me. John 3:30, he must increase, I must decrease. And I really, really want that. I just don't want it to be talk. I just don't want it to be just something that I say around my holy huddles and my little church friends. But I want more of him and less of me. I want to, even in America, I want to feel less entitled and give what I have away. I want him to increase. I want myself to decrease. Before John chapter 11, John 1:38, it's such a beautiful picture. There are two disciples of John the Baptist, that see Jesus. And Jesus in John chapter 1:38 asked these two disciples of John the Baptist, says this question, "What are you looking for?" I've never caught it until recently. As I want to decrease my life and increase him, Jesus asks in John 1:38, "What are you looking for?" And this morning, if we're not going to do lists, if we're not going to sit around, you know, 10 seconds before New Year's Eve and try to think of the five things we want to change about ourselves, I will ask the question. There's the gum right there. Did you hear it? There's the gum. I will ask the question, what are you looking for? What are you looking for? And what's so great is these two disciples said, we want to see where you live. Now, in modern day, that would be creepy, okay? That would be kind of stalkerish. But back then, you know, where do you live? They were saying to Jesus, they were saying, we want to know everything about you. We want to know your heartbeat of life. We want to know you claim to be the Son of God. We want to know everything about you. Where do you live? Who are you? And what are you looking for? I'm 42 years old. I know my wants, my needs, the things that I desire, the things that I want to achieve in the next chapters of my life. They can be pretty increasing. I want to do a lot. But I want him to increase and myself to decrease. And I've been asking the question. I've even written it down. It's in my car. It's in front of my mirror. What are you looking for? John 1:38. And maybe that's something that you, as well, as you go throughout 2013, you put that question in front of you. I mean, men, we don't like to get really deep. We kind of stay on the surface at times. We kind of push down the pain. We don't really like to think about things. But what are you looking for? What are those desires of your heart? What are those dreams that you may not have even attempted yet? What are you looking for? Ladies, we can be so busy. I mean, whether you're a career and you're a mom, or whether you're a stay-at-home mom, life can be so busy, and we can get so tuned out of so many things, but the question still remains, what are you looking for? And in John chapter 11, we're about to see Jesus culminate all of this, because this is the last sign. This is the last thing Jesus does as far as a miracle before he goes to the upper room and washes the disciples' feet, before he is arrested, before he is taken away. This is it right here. This is the last sign. And John chapter 11 is so beautiful. And I just want to read this with you, if we can, and look at the nuggets here, all right? John chapter 11, a man named Lazarus was sick. He lived in Bethany with his sisters, Mary and Martha. This is the Mary who later poured the expensive perfume on the Lord's feet and wiped them with her hair. Her brother Lazarus was sick, so the two sisters sent a message to Jesus telling him, "Lord, your dear friend is very sick." So we don't know a lot about Jesus, but this says he's a dear friend. I mean, even so much to go get him. Even though there was trouble about Jesus, people wanted to stone him. There was an uproar about Jesus. They went to him enough to go, your dear friend is sick. We know all the ramifications of the things going on. This is the last sign. We know all the things that are going on with you, Jesus, but we have to let you know your dear friend, he's sick. And then it says this, but when Jesus heard about it, he said, Lazarus's sickness will not end in death. No, it happened for the glory of God, so that the Son of God will receive glory from this. So he's already setting up the stage for what's about to happen. So although Jesus loved Martha, Mary, and Lazarus, he stayed where he was for the next 2 days. Finally, he said to his disciples, let's go back to Judea. But his disciples objected. Rabbi, they said, only a few days ago, the people in Judea were trying to stone you. Are you going there again? And Jesus replied, there are 12 hours of daylight every day. During the day, people can walk safely. They can see because they have the light of this world. But at night, there is danger of stumbling because they have no light. And then he said, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but now I will go and wake him. So basically, the disciples, hey, I love the disciples because they really, I could really fit into the category of the disciples. I would always put my foot in the mouth. I would always be asking the wrong questions. And Jesus just, he was so gracious and loving just to put up with these dudes. And so here again, he's going, even though they're saying, no, you can't go, you can't go, you can't go, there's trouble. He's going, hey, I'm the light. It's going to be okay. He references light a lot. I mean, in the past few chapters here, we see it again. I'm the light. It's going to be okay. Walk with me. And then he says this, we're going to go raise Lazarus. He has fallen asleep. Koimeterion, that's the Greek word for cemetery, a place of sleep. So falling asleep is just, it's very customary to say. And here's what I love about the disciples. So even though the verbiage asleep would be death, would be cemetery, the disciples still didn't get it. The disciples said, Lord, if he is sleeping, he will soon get better. They thought Jesus meant Lazarus was simply sleeping. But Jesus meant Lazarus had died. I love the disciples because right there, it's like Jesus is saying, we're going to go wake up Lazarus. And the disciples are like, you know, sleep is natural. It happens all the time. People, you wake up. Your body just wakes up naturally. With all due respect, he'll wake up, you know. And then Jesus has to go, no, he told them plainly, he's dead. And for your sakes, I'm glad I wasn't there. Now you will really believe. Come on, let's go see him. So he's setting everything up. He's setting things up for even when he dies on the cross and raises again and ascends to God, he's given them a miracle that they can remember. He's given them a legacy. He's about to show them the power. He's glad they weren't there because he's about to do something so miraculous. Right here is my grandmother James's Bible. And she passed away about 4 summers ago. And this is her Bible. And what I love about this Bible from my grandma James is not a lot of family members in my family are believers. So one of the family members go, you want this? It was grandma's. Do you want it? And I was like, yes, yes, I want it. And in here is her legacy. In here, she was the type of grandma. I have the table in my house now. If you ever come over to my house, I have the dinner table. It's a circular stone table with wooden legs, and people would have sat at that table for decades, and now it's in my house. This is the table that I would talk to my grandma James. She would make sausage biscuits and gravy and with the meat inside it. Oh, and there wasn't a recipe. She was a rancher back when she was young, so she'd just throw all the mixins in there and just stir it up, just talk to you at the same time. And the sausage gravy was so good. And we'd just sit at that table and talk about Jesus. And she'd open up her Bible, and even in high school, she'd just open up this Bible and read me things. And in high school, I really, you know, I was like, okay, Grandma, can I go watch TV? But as I got older, it was like, oh, I love to sit with my grandma. I love to hear her talk about Jesus. And now that she's gone, I look at her words and so many things come back. She left a legacy right here that I read and I see. She was the type of grandma that just saw joy and wonder and saw Jesus in so many ways. And the wonder of God's creation. I could be reading the paper and she'd go, Eddie, come here, come here. And you know, in my 20s, I was like, oh, okay. You know, and I'd walk up, what is it? Look at those squirrels out there. Look at them wrestling out there. Look at that, that's just so cute. Grandma, they're not wrestling. What? You saw nothing. Go sit down, read your paper. Go, 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 go. She was this amazing, amazing woman of God. And when I read these words and I read the little notes, I mean, when I read the little notes that she wrote, I remember her words. I remember what she said. And I have these aha moments. And Jesus is setting the stage for these aha moments about to happen. He's setting the stage to say, look what I'm doing. Look, I'm doing this to make God famous. I'm my Father famous. So it goes on to say, Thomas, nicknamed the twin, says to his fellow disciples, let's go too and die with Jesus. I love this right here because Thomas, the doubting Thomas, became like Peter. He's like, let's go, let's die with him. Aha! So, I mean, already Thomas is in this. And if I was Jesus, I, you know, and it's a good thing I wasn't because, I'd be like, okay, come on, let's go. And so they go to Bethany. He was told that Lazarus had already been in his grave for 4 days. Bethany was only a few miles down the road from Jerusalem, and many of the people had come to console Mary and Martha in their loss. When Martha got word that Jesus was coming, she went to meet him, but Mary stayed in the house. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you'd only been here, my brother would not have died, but even now I know that God will give you whatever you ask. And Jesus told her, your brother will rise again. And Martha said, yes, he will rise when everyone else rises at the last day. Customary tradition, that's what she was in. She wasn't getting the full picture. And Jesus told her this, just as we look back on many passages before this, Jesus said this, I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live even after dying. Everyone who lives in me and believes in me will never die. And then he asked this question, do you believe this, Martha? Can you imagine that moment? I mean, rewind the tape. Picture yourself right there. Don't let this just be a Bible story or something that we see in Sunday school. But, I mean, it's Jesus looking at Martha. I mean, Martha has given the customary things. Yes, I believe. Yes, I believe. But, I mean, and boom, Jesus sets it up. I am the resurrection and the life, eternal life, and looks at her and says, do you believe this, Martha? Can you imagine that moment? Just like John 1:38. What are you looking for? Do you believe this, Martha? And in that moment, Martha says, yes. Yes, she told him. I've always believed you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one who has come into the world from God. Then she returned to Mary. She called Mary aside from the mourners and told her, the teacher is here and wants to see you. Now, what's so great about this is the teacher is here. Like the rich young ruler called Jesus teacher because he didn't really believe he's the Son of God. Martha believes. I mean, she was just taught something. She believes this is the Son of God. So Mary immediately went to him. And Jesus had stayed outside the village at the place where Martha met him. When the people who were at the house consoling Mary saw her leave so hastily, they assumed she was going to Lazarus' grave to weep. So they followed her there. When Mary arrived and saw Jesus, she fell at his feet and said, Lord, if you'd only been here, my brother would not have died. Two different responses to what's been happened. Two different ways they come even to Jesus. Martha, yes, yes, I believe, yes. Okay, I catch more of a glimpse of what you're saying. I'm looking into your eyes, Jesus. Yes, I believe. And here we see Mary. She's despondent. She's sad. And when Jesus saw her weeping and saw the other people wailing with her, listen to this. A deep anger welled up within him, and he was deeply troubled. Okay, they say this. It's not like this deep anger. It describes this deep anger like a horse snorting, like a deep anger. Death is the enemy. Wasn't mad at the people wailing and crying and their lack of faith. It was this deep anger that death is this chasm that can separate life and death. And these haven't got the full picture of what's about to happen. And then Jesus says here, where have you put them? I mean, can you imagine that moment? I mean, that is a movie moment right there. I mean, he's watching people crying and he's feeling this emotion. He knows God can do anything. He is the Son of God. And then there's that question, where have you put him? Dun, dun, dun. I mean, there it is. I mean, it's the moment, you know. I mean, if it was modern day, all of us would have out our phones. We'd be going, oh, wow, what's about to happen? Come on, come on, come on. You know, this is going to be on YouTube. Let's go. I mean, it was that viral moment. Here it is. Boom, where have you put him? And then here, this piece of scripture that we all can say, especially when, do you know any scripture? Yeah, I know scripture. What scripture do you know? Jesus wept. I mean, that's what we usually do. Here it is, folks. Here it is. Where have you put him? He asked them. They told him, Lord, come and see. Then Jesus wept. Okay, Now, please keep this in mind. If you're going to go out in 2013 and live this life, if you're even going to ask the question, what are you looking for? Please keep this in mind. British folks, and if you're British here, welcome. But British folks have made Jesus into this really puny Jesus God man, okay? I mean, in all the movies we see about Jesus, he's like, where have you put him? You know what I'm saying? Very kind of wimpy, come hither, let's go, you know? And his upper body doesn't move type thing, you know, and he's walking, okay? But here we see him snorting, we see him, he's weeping, and it's not just, it's not just that. He is weeping, he is crying, I mean, he's crying. He sees the agony of the people, he sees death as the enemy, he knows what he can do, and he's weeping. It's such a beautiful picture. See how much he loved him, the people were saying. This man healed a blind man. Couldn't he have kept Lazarus from dying? So there's even in this, there's questioning. Jesus was still angry as he arrived at the tomb, a cave with a stone rolled across its entrance. And then he said this, roll the stone aside, Jesus told them. But Martha, the dead man's sister, protested. Lord, he's been dead for 4 days. The smell will be terrible. Isn't that just like us? Jesus wants to do something miraculous. Jesus wants to proclaim the Father. Jesus wants to show glory to God. And we find excuses. We find things. No, you don't want to do that. No, no, that'll get messy. No, 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 no. And so they didn't get it. The smell will be horrible. Jesus responded, didn't I tell you that you will see God's glory if you believe? So they rolled the stone aside. Then Jesus looked up to heaven and said, Father, called him Father, thank you for hearing me. You always hear me, but I said it out loud for the sake of all these people staying here so that they will believe you sent me. Then Jesus shouted, Lazarus, come out. And if you look at scripture right there, there is an exclamation point, okay? Again, it's not this wimpy Jesus that we may see in some movies over the past decades. It wasn't Lazarus, come out. All right, it wasn't that at all. It was Lazarus, come out. It was powerful. I guarantee it, if we were all there, we would have phones going, what is about to happen? I mean, we would just be, we'd have to gird up our loins. We would not know what's going on. They've never seen anything like this before. I mean, don't let this pass you by. It's like, oh yeah, we read it in church. This was a moment. Lazarus, come out. With all the snorting and the wailing and the weeping and death is the enemy. Lazarus, come out. It was there. It was there. And don't you know, everybody at that moment was just like. Now, here's where my brain goes, okay? Because, I mean, there were tombs over there, okay? He said his name, Lazarus. I mean, if he did not say his name, if he just said, come out, it would be like, this is thriller. I mean, there were tombs. He said his name, boom. And my brain, you know, I think Pastor Dave says, you know, be curious in scripture. My brain thinks like this. I mean, Lazarus, it had to be a common name. What if there were like two Lazaruses over there? Lazarus, come out. And the other Lazarus, hey, this is cool. Not you. Okay. Story of my life. But he says his name, and he says it with power and authority, and he says, Father, I want to show everybody here. I want to give them an aha moment because I know what's about to happen. I know what's about to happen. And I love this. Then Jesus shouted, Lazarus, come out. And the dead man came out, his hands and feet bound in grave clothes, his face wrapped in a head cloth. Jesus told them, unwrap him and let him go. Please don't let this pass you by, okay? Think about this, okay? Lazarus comes out. He is bound up. He is like a mummy. It is not like the Easter plays, you know, where the music is going, you know, and Jesus says, Lazarus, come out. You know, and Lazarus, you know, the smoke billows from the tomb that's up on the stage, and Lazarus comes out like, da-da-da-da-da-da. Okay, it's not that at all, okay? Lazarus, come out. He is bound up. I don't know what that looks like, but if he was mummified, I mean, it had to have been everybody's watching, then all of a sudden you see this. And because we know, Jesus says, untie him, get the grave clothes off of him. And it's a beautiful picture of Lazarus come out. Here's the authority. I just raised the dead. Boom. I'm going to give you an aha moment. What are you looking for? If you want your life to mean something, I must increase, you must decrease. And then there's the community. Come, help him. Untie the grave clothes. You know, in that weeping, when Jesus wept, he carried their burdens. And here he's saying, you guys, carry his burdens. Untie him. Ephesians 6:2, let's carry one another's burdens. Let's become a community. Let's become a body of believers. And let's get out of our grave clothes. Because, again, what if Lazarus come out? And this is what we heard. Everybody's watching. Everybody's paying attention. Hi, guys. Let me move this. I just feel like I can't see your faces over there. What if this was it? Lazarus, come out. Everybody's like, what? And this is what you hear. You hear Lazarus.
No, that's okay. If you don't mind, I'm just going to stay in here. Yeah, I've been here 4 days. It's nice. The walls are really cool. It's comfy. No one judges me in here. I'll just stay in here.
And if you want to make 2013 great, when it comes to the question, what are you looking for? Students, adults, moms, dads, grandmas, grandpas. What are you looking for? So many of the time, God is moving us out of something and into something, and we fight it. And we just stay in our grave clothes. We stay right here and we go, I'm okay. This is as good as it gets. I don't make lists because the list never worked. I'm just going to stay right here. I've tried to do things, and every time I try, Eddie, I fail. I fall on my face. I don't really get the attention I deserve. I don't really get that thing I want. What's the use? And we stay in our grave clothes. And some of you have been hurt. If we were to talk face to face, I would hear your pain. I would hear your sorrow. And you go, why? I just stay right here. At least I know this. I know this world. I don't want to just go out. And Jesus is calling us to come out, to get out of our grave clothes. He calls us by name. Shelley, come out. Rob, come out. Darren, Linda, Tammy, come on. Your life isn't done yet. There's still more living to do. We're not through. Don't stay in your grave clothes. Friends, help them, untie them. Let's be the body of believers. Let's show the world that we live differently and that we bring in people that are sick. We bring in the widows and the poor and we take care of people. Come on, untie the grave clothes. So, 2013, what are you going to look for? What are those things that are in your heart that you know you need to give up? What are those secret sins? Adults, we're really good at hiding stuff. Students, you can read it on them. I mean, they're okay. They haven't figured out really how to hide stuff, hide the secret sins, hide the stuff. But us adults, we've had years of practice at it. And we find our little comforts instead of going to him. And we go to these things whenever hurting, angry, lonely, tired. And we even kind of like the grave clothes a little bit. What are those things we need to give up? What are you looking for? Think about this. Do you think Lazarus was different after that day? Don't you think when Lazarus walked down the street to Old Man Moses' deli to get some of those bagels and some of that, you know, some of that margarine he's eating, don't you think people would be sitting there drinking coffee going, that's Lazarus. Did you hear about Lazarus? That's the guy that Jesus rose from the dead. Do you think every day that he got up, do you think his life was different? Do you think it could be ho-hum after that? I mean, it would be the equivalent of us buying a casket and laying in it for 4 days. Think about that. If you, once the 4 days were over and you lifted up that lid, don't you think you would live differently? Don't you think there would be no stopping you? Don't you think you'd have a new lease on life no matter what your past has been? Don't you think you'd go, wow, I've got another day. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice in it. He has come to give us life. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but he's come to give us life. No more grave clothes. So wouldn't it be great if we could all meet back here this time next year? And no matter how old you are, senior citizens, let me just say it, you can get real comfortable, just like students. We can go, this is the way it's been. But life isn't over yet. There's still things to give up. There's still things to learn. There's still things to leave a legacy for the people under you and your family. What are the grave clothes we need to give up? Let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, thank you for your love. I pray for each individual in here. I pray for their grave clothes. I pray for those things that they could easily just stay in the tomb over and go, no, this is as good as it gets. I pray that the question, what are you looking for, will haunt us in a way, and that we may answer the question, and we may, even though it may be tough, we walk out of the grave and we live life anew, no matter what our circumstance is, that we can give you the glory and make you famous. Thank you, Lord, for your love. Thank you for what you're going to do in 2013 in our lives. And God, help us, whatever we hold onto ourselves, to tear it off, to pick up our cross daily and follow you. In your name I pray.